All right, so this class, what I was told is that we need wisdom as far as how to organize our finances, how to stretch a dollar, wise tips about shopping, and that kind of thing. And so, I told them, when Eleanor told me about this class, I said, they gave a little slide in last week in the Wise Women's one, and it had a picture of like the mall, a schematic diagram of the mall. It had a blue line showing how the men go from their car to Macy's, and they pay like $35 and buy them a pair of khakis. Then it had this pink line, and it was all in every store going around a couple times, doing all like this of what the women do, and they spend like $800 by the time they went to the store to buy a pair of khakis. Well, I would be the blue line man. You know, I park, I know what I want, I go in and I get it. So I said, well, I'm not the greatest shopper for bargains, so Pam is going to help me, and she's going to give you all the fun stuff after I go through all the stuff that is very necessary but not that fun. Okay? Let me just get my... I think talking about finances, the very first thing is that in order to be blessed, if you're struggling with your finances, if it seems like you can't, you have more month at the end than you have money to stretch, then the first thing you have to do is become a tither. So I wanted to just include that. I don't know how many people in here have had a teaching on tithing, but if you have not been tithing, there is a verse in the Bible. Can you guys see that? Okay. So it says Malachi 3:8, and it says, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? And the Lord says, in tithes and offerings. And so the reason that you have the health to go to your job, whatever that job pays, the reason why you're in the position that you're in is because God has given you that ability. You have a sound mind, you have two legs and everything to get to the job, regardless of whether you're in the house that you want or the car that you want or whatever. It's because of the Lord. And so 10% off the top, before you even begin to think about what money is yours, is His. It's not yours. So I don't even think of it as my money. So the first thing on the personal budget that we're going to go through today, when it goes down to here where it says income monthly, when I talk about your income, I'm talking about your salary minus your 10% tithe. So we're not even going to deal with the whole income. We're going to take the 10% right off the top and deal with that, okay? And then a lot of people might argue, well, this is Old Testament, and then when Jesus came, didn't He abolish all that and we don't have to tithe anymore? So, wrong one. Where is it? Okay, so in Hebrews, New Testament book, right, it says Abraham gave a tenth of everything. First, his name means king of righteousness, then also king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now, the law requires the descendants of Levi, who became priests, to collect a tenth from the people, that is, their brothers, even though their brothers are descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. So even before the law was in place, there was tithing. So it applies in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Melchizedek gave a tithe before the law was set up, okay? And then another verse that I think is a good verse to teach you about how important it is to giving, because when I talk about tithing, I'm not just talking about the 10% off the top of the income that you get. I'm talking about tithing of your time, of your heart, of your things, of just being a blessing at the church, a ministry. She asked who can help this morning preparing the food, the muffins, because our time is the reason we go to a job and get paid, because our time is precious. So to give of our time is just as important as giving of our finances that belong to God. Okay, so in 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So the tithe is just the start, and then there's offerings above that. I mean, if you think that you make $100 and you think God has blessed you $10 worth, which is your 10%, and no more, then your offering is very small. If you think he's blessed you abundantly, then you give of your heart whatever he's calling you, and you believe God that that's going to be replenished to pay whatever it is that you needed to pay. So it says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And so he's telling you how much he's going to bless you. You know, the Bible says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and he will open up the windows of heaven and pour forth such a blessing that there will not be room enough to contain it. And so if you haven't been feeling like it's just overflowing, maybe you need to give a little bit more. You know, there's many things in the Bible we could talk about. You know, the widow who gave her last meal, and, you know, the one that gave the last coin that she had in her pocket, and that was a great amount to her, even though it was a very small amount, and, you know, to everybody else. And so giving is the way to wealth. Okay, so if you don't remember anything else that I say, you have to give your way out of debt, okay? And you have to trust God. And, you know, faith as small as a mustard seed, you can still trust and believe God to supply your needs, okay? So, and we're going to have, we're going to leave the last 30 minutes for your questions and answers. So, I'm going to put this over here. It's just buzzing. So we'll have time to answer all your questions. But as I'm talking, if you have something and you want to stop me, this is very small groups. I think we can take the questions as we go, so you don't have to write them down and forget them, okay? So if you have a question, very informal, just, you know, say I didn't understand that or whatever, okay? All right. So so when you're talking about finances, the first thing you have to think about is budgeting. And, you know, and a lot of people's like, it gets all confusing and they don't know how to do it or whatever. But I think the easiest thing is, how much money do I bring in every month and how much money do I spend every month? Okay. If you have never looked at this, this is why you're making this circle in debt. Okay. Because you need to know. So if you're a debit card or a credit card user, it's easy for you to look at a month of your statements, and you want to go through there and see where your money is going. If you're a cash or check person, it might be a little bit harder if you haven't written it all down. So what I recommend is for you to get a piece of paper that you keep in your purse all the time, and everything that you buy, you write it down. You're in Walmart, and you got some Cheetos and a DVD, you write down Walmart, $20, okay? And you date it. And you do this for a month, okay? And you just carry this piece of paper. If you run out, get another piece. So you have all these papers at the end of the month, and you can say, okay, well, at Stater's for the whole month, I spent this amount of money. Looks like I've been to Starbucks, and I spent $40 for the month at Starbucks. And you can look and say, I went to Blockbuster. Oh, look, I didn't even realize I got that many movies. I spent $20 at Blockbuster and this much on gas. And I spend this much just on toiletries from Walgreens or something, my toothpaste and my shampoo and all this kind of stuff. And then I got my nails done this many times, and I spent this. So at the end of the month, you have this paper where you can look at it and you can see everything that was spent, okay? And then you want to break it into categories. Now, I have on this personal budget that everybody get a paper like this? You didn't get one? There you go. So I would suggest that before you write on this, you make a couple copies, okay? Because hopefully it'll change. or write in pencil so you can erase or something, okay? I have extra here, so you can get a couple. I mean, I didn't want to run out, but as you leave, you can get whatever's left. And so you can change this and revamp it and everything. So you have that paper that has everything written, or you have your credit card statements, your bank statements, whatever, where you can highlight. Okay, so you go through there and you look and you say, how much should I spend on housing? So that includes, in housing, I put my mortgage or my rent, whatever. How much do I pay a month to live where I live? Okay? And in general, okay, I'm going to, let's see, I don't even know what's a, I think, say an average salary might be like, what, like $30,000 a year? Is that like $30,000, $40,000? Which is about, okay, say you are bringing home $500 a week. Is that too low? Too high?
No, that's probably good.
Okay, because that's an easy number to work with, okay? Say you're bringing home five, and this is not after taxes. They give you 500. Say it should be $625, but you get 500, okay, every week. So at the end of the month, for the 4 weeks, you have $2,000, okay? Now, whenever you do a tithe, 10% is just moving that decimal over, whoopsie. Well, this doesn't erase too good. But it's moving the decimal over one. So 10% is how much? $200. Is that right? Okay. So now you have to work with, for your month, you have $1,800. Right? Now, of the $1,800, part, you know, we've counseled a lot of people. And it starts with, and I don't know how to say it other than just say it, but the biggest problem that we found is people trying to keep up with the Joneses. Do you know what I mean by that? Okay, and it's living above your means. Okay, if you make $1,800 a month that you have to work with, you don't want to be in a house that is more than 30% of this amount. Otherwise, you need to downgrade until you're able to move up. So you wanted to live in the same apartment as your friend. So 30%, I should have brought my calculator, dang it. What's some? Oh, here. Well, you could go like this. 10% is 180, right? So 180 times 3 is, so your can you? Woo, a lot of stuff in there. Almost all fell out. Okay, so the place where you're paying mortgage or rent, it should not be more than $540 a month for you to be bringing home this, okay? So if you're paying $1,000 a month, more than 50% of your money, you're in a place that is too much for your budget. That's why you can never get ahead, okay? So this is what you can do. Say there's a couple things. Say you know that your rent is too much or your mortgage, okay? You can consider taking in a boarder, okay, if you have a room that you use like for sewing or something, or you can put the two kids have their separate. And remember, everything that you do to try to improve this is for a season. This is not your life. You're doing this to go further, okay? So when I have cutbacks or whatever, I'm like, this is only for a season, you know? I lost my house. This is for a season because God's going to give it back. I'm going to take in this boarder for this year because I want to save and get ahead or whatever. So say you have a boy and a girl, they're in separate rooms. You might consider moving them to the same room and renting that out to, you know, another lady, maybe a student, if you're by a college or something that needs a room, and can pay you $500 a month. So now your $1,000 a month rent is now $500 a month because for the next year you have this boarder living in your room. Or you might consider moving, okay? And, you know, one of the people I talk to, they're like, you know, well, my kids are in the school here or this or whatever. If you have a mom or something that you can live with to save for our family member that might let you pay them $500 a month to live there instead of renting on your own and having to pay all the utilities and all this kind of stuff on top of that. Because, you know, if it's $1,000 mortgage, then you still got your lights and your heat and your this and whatever, depending on where you live, if it's paid for by the apartment or whatever. Okay? So you understand that. Did you see how I calculated how much your monthly Everybody clear on how much you should spend a month on just the housing? Okay. All right. So then that, the first column right over here, you would put how much your rent or mortgage is. Okay. All right. And then car payments. All right. Now, again, the problem arises in keeping up with the Joneses. You know, if you're only bringing home this and you're struggling to make this, you should not be driving a Lexus, Mercedes, luxury kind of car, okay? Because when I was making this much, I had what you call a hoopty. It's like, you know, barely getting, I had to pat it six times before I turned the ignition. Always six. Always park on a hill, because if I didn't pop the clutch quite right, I might stall. It was not a pretty sight, but it sure got me where I wanted to go. It didn't have heat, and it didn't have air conditioning. And, you know, I bought it at a good place to buy cars, is the auto auction, but I took a mechanic with me. Because you can get a good car for like under $2,000 for sure if you save up, you know. But I would take a mechanic, because I didn't know anything about if it's good or whatever it had. And he'd hear a little click click, and it'd be like, oh no, you're gonna lose your transmission in a few months, or you're gonna do this or whatever. But you know, I bought this little ugly car, had been, you know, banged up, had been, you know, smoothed over, had gray splotches or whatever. Whatever. And so if you have a car that is too much for you, that's another thing you have to do. Either you can consider selling that car and getting something that's more affordable, okay? And it may not be the prettiest sight, okay? But this is only for a season, okay? A lot of times we look at other people and we think, you know, well, I deserve this, she has this, I deserve it, and you go in and get it, but now you're the one that's always barely treading water, just sinking fast, you know, because, and you don't even know what she went through to get that. You know, it could have been a gift from her daddy, you don't know. You're thinking she works the same place that you work, and she's got it, and maybe she has a husband and you don't, or maybe she gets a certain amount from your child support or something. You don't know. You know, you only know your situation, okay? All right, so other things you can do about your car payments besides selling the car or trading it in and getting something smaller, and just because what you should do if you're struggling is not have car payments. So the whole point is to save enough where you can buy something outright. Save, you know, $1,000, buy a little piece of car that will get you around for the next year, so you don't have these car payments that are, you know, $400 a month or whatever, okay? Another thing you can do is make sure that there are student discounts on your insurances and stuff that you can get lower. You can claim more people. They're good driver things, and make sure that your insurance is giving you all the benefits that they're supposed to be giving you. Okay. Okay. Water, sewer. You can't really do much about that except. If you have a home and you're watering during peak hours, I had to really become the warden there with the shower time. I mean, they'd just be in there. For one, you know, I hear the shower running, and I'm thinking, man, it's a really long shower. And I go in there, he's still talking on the phone, about to take it. You know, hadn't even gotten in there yet. I'm like, what in the world? You know, about to get in there. And I'm like, you know, or just run in the water just while they brushing their teeth, and then they go do something and still run. Just little things to try to just, you know, do that. Electricity. I know one good way to save on electricity is if you have a home, is to get solar panels. My friend, you can rent them. Like, say your electric bill is $125 a month or something, okay? And so this is what hers is, as I'm saying. Hers was $125 a month, so she rented the solar panels. I think it was like $50 a month, and her electric bill is $5 a month now, okay? So she's saving $75 a month, and in 10 months, that's $750, right? $75 a month. $750. So in a year, that's almost $1,000. I think they're a little expensive to buy. I was going to look to it, because she just told me this the other day. But that's one way of saving on electricity. Another is to call your local company, and they can come out to your house. Now, I've done this, and they can tell you where... did you guys have a question? Okay. They can tell you where you're losing power. You know that even if you leave things plugged in that aren't on, that's still draining the power. So if you leave your iron or your coffee pot and everything plugged in, it still drains from your electric bill. So you might want to just unplug all of everything, and as you use it, plug it and stop using it, unplug it. All anything plugged in. Yes.
I know what I did because I heard that was I bought power cords, a power strip, and mm-hmm. So all you have to do is
push one thing and they all. Did you guys hear that? So she plugged it all into a power strip, then you just turn off the one button and you turn off like six things instead of just having to go through and. Or just unplug everything, and as you use it, plug it, unplug it. But then you'd be messing up your hair, bending down, trying to dig under there and find it. I know. One of my favorite plugs has like this big old plant under. It seems like I had to crawl down there and get under there, so I don't like doing that. But so that's a good thing. All right. Yes.
Yeah. The Edison man told me if you're not using it, unplug it.
Right.
Like she said, it is. I don't care what it is.
Drink right. Yeah, but it's still plugged in. Yeah. Yes.
Changing the light bulbs, we did that in our apartment.
Yeah, I was getting to that. Mm-hmm. So you know the light bulbs that look weird that go like this, and they say like 10 watts, but it's for replace like a 60 watt, and those are like most of them are like lifetime or 30 years, and they use very little energy. It says 10 watts because instead of burning 60 or takes drawing that much energy, it only draws 10, but it gives you the illumination for a 60 watt bulb. So go through and replace all of those bulbs in your house. Okay. All right. The cable internet. Okay. If I'm struggling, I don't have cable. Okay. If you have all these premium channels, you might want to just go to the basic. Take off HBO and your sports channel and your Stars and whatever, Cinemax and all those people. Take all that off and go to just basic, or take off the cable totally for a season. I'm not going to use cable this year. I might spend a whole lot of time over Pam's house watching TV or something. But this year, I'm not going to use cable. Your internet, sometimes you might want to consider the bundles. You might want to shop around. Sometimes they have bundles for combining your internet and you might want to take your home phone off totally. If you need a cell phone, you don't need the home phone. They all got your cell phone number anyway. So for this season, I might not have a home phone number. Okay? So look at the bundles, packaging, maybe the basic cable with your internet and your phone or whatever, and see if you can save on that. All right. And waste disposal, you can't really. You got to pay for the garbage. Okay, now the debt. Okay. So, whenever I'm talking about, so we're putting 30% to our house. We're putting 10% that belongs to God. Right? Okay, so then there's this debt. Now, I think that you need to be saving at least 10%. But only after you have this budget in line. You can't save 10% when you have a credit card that's charging you 22.5% on a credit card, or 18% on a credit card. So if you have $50,000 of a Visa and MasterCard and Discover, because you had more month every time at the end of your check, and you've just been putting it on cards, and you have all these, you have 10 cards, and all together you might have maybe $60,000 of debt, and they're charging you 18%. Okay, you're paying several thousand dollars every month. You're never going to dig out of that. So there's no point in you saving $50 a month, because they're charging you $2,000 a month to have these credit cards. So this savings that you have here, you need to take it over here and pay off the debt. Okay? You cannot start saving when you still have the debt. All right? Because it just doesn't make sense. You understand me on that? The debt is not only credit cards, but for me, I had all these school loans. Okay, anybody been to school and got some loans at Earth? They just all pile up. So school loans and credit cards, maybe your husband was married before and has to send alimony or child support payments. These are still debts, okay? So that's taken away from, each situation there is unique. You have to see where you are. But if you don't have the debt, then I definitely recommend that along with your tithe, 10% is going into an account because you want to buy a better car. Right now you're driving that little hoopty, remember? You don't have any internet and all this kind of stuff. So that's the savings, all right? And maybe you're staying with your mom or you got a boarder and you don't want to get in that situation, so you want to have more. And ultimately with the savings, what you want to do ultimately with the savings is you want to have enough money that you could survive 4 to 5 months without income. That would be the goal. I'm not there, but that is the goal. That's the goal, is to keep tucking it away. So if you got laid off, if there was an emergency or whatever, you wouldn't have to scramble around. You'd be set. You know, I'm good to find a job for the next 3, 4, or 5 months. I'm good. I can pay all these bills, whatever my monthly is I have. So that's five times that's almost, you know, $10,000. 2,000 times five, okay? All right, then you got household repairs and maintenance. Now, you kept your little paper. You're looking at your thing. You're like, man, I've been to Lowe's this many times, and the washing machine broke down unexpectedly, and the stove stopped working, and the this and the that, and you got all this. And you want to have a little nest egg, so when that happens, you can fix it. Child care, all right? So if you're not... Even if you're loving the place where your kids are, I mean, I had a friend, they had a lot of financial problems. She just really wanted her children to go to private school. And I'm like, for a season, can they learn what they need to learn about the Lord from the rock and maybe just go to public school? For this season, you can put them in private school, but not this season. You understand? And yes, she's like, well, my kids are not going to suffer just because I'm suffering. But, you know, they're not suffering. You know, I don't know of an area that really has really awful public schools, and you can shop around and see, but really California has a pretty good school system, and say for a year if you have to take them out of private school or whatever, and then you can shop around at the daycares or the whatever that you need so you can continue to work for the best price and see. Sometimes you can save like 10% if you just pay it up front. I mean, you got to pay it anyway. So you can save to enter them there so you can pay it every month up front to save the 10%. You know, if they charge you $400 a month for, you know, before and after school, but they only charge you $350 if you pay it on the first instead of paying weekly. You need to take advantage of these little things and see how you could do it. Okay, auto insurance, like I was saying, see about their discounts for whatever, you know, you qualify for. I forgot I got all this on there. Okay, got all that. I forgot about the PowerPoint. Cancel your landline, I did that, and the bundle. And when you wash clothes, only a full load. I wouldn't even run the dishwasher if I'm struggling because you could wash them dishes. You can use your clothesline instead of using your dryer so much. If you pull your shades in the day on a hot day, it keeps the house that much cooler. And when it's cold, if you open up all the blinds in the house, then the heat and the sun can come in. So that keeps your... And then the other thing is a programmable thermostat. Wonderful. Say you leave the house at 6:30 in the morning to go drop off your kids and go to your 8 a.m. job. So, you know, you can have the heat come on at 5 when you get up so the house isn't freezing, and go off at 6 because you're about to leave, and then it can come on again at night before you go to bed or whatever, and doesn't have to run all day if you had a programmable thermostat and you didn't have to just be there to turn it, because you could say at 5 a.m. come on for 1 hour at, you know, 75 degrees or something and warm us up, and then go off for the rest of the day and don't come on again until I'm about to get home from work and make it 70 degrees in here. you know, and do that only for the 2 hours that I'm up with the kids, because by the time it cools down, I'll be in the bed, I don't need it. And then you've only ran it 3 hours total in the whole day, air conditioned the same. So, and they're not that much. You can say your savings can buy you and begin to change over your whole house. So it has these programmable thermostats. We talked about the bulbs, the used cars we talked about. You can raise the deductibles on your auto insurance policy. So make sure and you get the discounts for the good driver, good student, or multiple cars that you have with that insurance company. And if you're driving less, a lot of times they, when you go to get your car insurance, they say, how far is your job? What else do you do? And it's all on there to say, like, if you're in the car and you drive to L.A. back and forth every day, your insurance rates are higher than if you live locally and you work at the corner Stater Brothers. And so if you've changed jobs, they need to be aware of that so they can lower your costs on the insurance that you're paying, okay? And then, let's see, health insurance. You know, you can see, and also on auto insurance, you don't, if it's an old car, you don't need collision. You only paid $600 for that car. If you wreck it, you know, if it's totaled, you get another $600 car. Don't pay to get it repaired, you know. Just pay what you need to pay by the law. You got to get the other people's car fixed, but you don't have to get your little hoopty fixed. If you've got a little another hickey on the other side, oh, well, you know. So don't pay all that. And then food. You know, this is where when you do look at your paper and you start looking and you can see all the times you went to Starbucks, you know, those little McDonald's stops for the Java drinks and or just whatever for the kids, those add up, you know. What else do we stop for food? The big thing for food that I do is, you know, all the time when you go in a grocery store, you know how they have all the things at the end of the aisle? Those really aren't on sale. Did you know that? They just put them there because they look like they're on sale. So you grab some. You know, the paper towel sitting right there. You're like, oh. And, you know, when you go to the store, it'll say, I don't know, Bounty paper towels. Okay? Just because that's the first thing I'm thinking of. And say, it'll say $6 or something. And it'll say 100 count, just so to be easy. Okay? And so, and then down here, it'll say, which equals something like 26 cents per paper towel. This is what you need to be looking at, right? Because this other one, it'll say Target brand is $4, okay? And you're like, oh, well, I'll grab the $4 one. But they don't have 100 count. They only have 40 count. And so what it turns out that their per paper towel price is actually 30 cents a paper towel. So even though the total price looks like it's less per the number of paper towels you're getting, the better deal is to buy this one. So you look at how much one of the paper towels costs. You understand that? So, you know, like when you pull it off of the thingy. And that's for everything. I do that for whatever I'm trying to buy in bulk, because I buy a lot of in bulk. If you have a Costco card or whatever and you're trying to buy things in bulk, how much is it per that thingy? Okay? So because they try to trick you. You buy the $4 one because you're like, this is four, that's six, man. And you grab it up. But really, you're going to have to replenish that one so much sooner than this one because you get more per money. The other thing with food is the grocery store trick is that they put everything that you need in the back of the store. So you got to go past all these visual things to get there. The milk and the eggs are way back there. So if you just need milk and eggs, don't look. You just walk just like this. Because meanwhile, there's these signs that say this is on sale or this is on sale. That's why it's on the back aisle. The bread is way down there, you know. So if you know that you just need a loaf of bread, don't look at everything and don't buy anything at the checkout that's sitting right there. Don't buy any of that, okay? Because that's just, you know, you're like, oh, I do want this magazine. Oh, look at her, done divorced her husband and having a baby. And you pick it up, you know, and all the gum and the candy that's right there. You know you need to lose those pounds. Don't pick it up. It's just looking at you. The chocolate's calling your name, you know, and you're like, well, I am kind of hungry, you know, and you get it. So don't do that. If you've gone for bread, milk, or whatever, and all the healthy stuff is way over there, you know. So don't do that when you go grocery shopping. Just, and the other thing about grocery shopping is I always shop the season, okay? So you know that after Christmas you can get cheap turkey and ham because they overstock to try to get you for Christmas dinner. So after Christmas for the next month, we're eating turkey and ham because that's on sale, right? And you want to buy all the things that you want for Christmas in the after Christmas sale the previous year for next year. Okay, so I buy all my Christmas cards, you know, that I send to people or whatever, and decorations that you want. I always buy a couple of new ornaments in the after Christmas sale that I want for next year. Well, I wanted them this year, but I wait till they're on sale. Okay, after what's next? Valentine's Day, if you like chocolate or you wanted to give a gift of chocolate, it's a good time to buy chocolate because they have stored up and everything's in excess. After Super Bowl, it's a good time to buy all the snacks and everything that everybody has on Super Bowl Sunday. After Easter, you can get a good price on ham. After, you know, every holiday, Thanksgiving, you know, turkey or whatever. So remember to shop that. And also, not just with food, but in January would be the coldest month is the best time to buy the hot things. So you want, if you needed a new air conditioner, that would be the month to buy an air conditioner because they're not selling many because it's freezing, right? It'd be a good time to buy your pool stuff or your outdoor furniture and stuff, right? Also small appliances because they stock up on those at Christmas and not everybody buys the coffee maker and the can opener or whatever. So if you needed a new one, you buy it in the after Christmas sale. In February, that's the best time when if you'd saved up and you want to buy your big screen TV because everybody's getting it for Super Bowl. Okay, that's the best time for that. The other thing at Valentine's Day that they overstock is seafood and steaks because everybody's going taking their honey out to the restaurant for Valentine's Day. So after Valentine's Day, you can buy a good price on seafood and steaks. Of course, tools after Father's Day. Not everybody bought Dad that tool thing that he wanted or whatever. And then 4th of July stuff and all that. And then when you're shopping, also remember, I think it's, I know Ralph's, but I think also Vons gives double coupons. Anybody else give double coupons besides Ralph and Vons that you guys know? Anybody in here like to shop on the internet? Well, I can't help you then because I got all kinds of, oh, you do? Well, do you know about like Cool Savings or Boodle or SendEarnings.com?
Me?
No, sure.
I'm like, oh, not me.
Because if you're at all into the internet, maybe just see me after because great way to save. I mean, if you're going to buy something at JCPenney anyway, you might as well go through their website and they give you a check for 10% of what you spend. If you're going to buy something at Walmart anyway, if you can buy it online, they get free shipping, comes right to your door, and then they give you a refund check for it. So there's
a third party? Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just hit their link, and just because you went through their link, okay, send earnings. Well, you have to earn $30. Every time you get up to $30, they send you your check.
Oh, there's tons of stores.
I just like this one, but there's a million. Yeah, it has different things. Like, I think Target is only at Walmart and Target, like 3 or 4%. But, like, JCPenney is like 8%. Mm-hmm. Like, all your toiletries, I buy all my toiletries through drugstore.com because they give you a percent back. And they're on Send Earnings. So, Send Earnings gives you a percent and drugstore gives you a percent. So, you wind up saving almost $30, $40 by doing that. And they always have free shipping. And so you're not paying any different. And for the gas that you're using to go to the store to get it, you're saving a lot. So if you can get into the internet or whatever, that's a good way to go. All right. So so we go through all of our expenses. So you had your credit card statement or this paper, and you've determined I spend this much on all these things, and you plugged it in here. And then your income. So you took your 10% tithe off the top, and that's how much you bring in a month. If you're married, you also add your spouse's income in there. If you have a boarder, put that to income in there. If you get a certain retirement or some kind of check or any gifts, put the anything that is in there. So then you want to take everything that you added for the expenses and subtract it from everything that you have for the income, and hopefully you have a positive number. This is our goal, is to have a positive number. And if you have a negative number, you need to go through some of the things we were talking about on how to lower things and see how you can work it so you can have a surplus. So we had the 10% for the God and 30% for the house, 10% for savings. Usually it's about 5 to 7% for food is what you want to keep it. So you can see if you're eating out too much or whatever. There's clothing, and there's another 5 to 7%. I had it written down. I should look at my notes. I forgot what I'm forgetting. Maybe I didn't bring that one. Is it on here? I didn't write it. But give me another category. Okay. Everything else is about 10%. Whatever I'm blanking out on, it's about 10% to add up to the whole 100% or whatever. So any questions on all that stuff?
One question I want to ask you about the internet. You don't feel unsafe using your credit card and stuff on the internet?
If they have the little lock thing, it's encrypted. And that's usually a safe site. When it goes on there, it says this is an encrypted site. And then in the bottom, it'll have a little lock, which means you can't, was not supposed to be able to be hacked. If you... Yeah.
I know Banker in America is. Mm-hmm. You never have trouble.
Yeah. I mean, I do everything online, though. My bank is online, too. They'll cancel it in a heartbeat if you did. They'll investigate it, and you just have to sign a thing to say if they catch who did it, you'll prosecute, and they send you another card with another number. You don't have to pay it. So I've never had a problem. I've been doing it for many, many years. That's how I do all my Christmas shopping and my everything. That's why Pam is here to talk to you about shopping, because I'll sit there with a cup of coffee and some snacks and do all my shopping with my finger and wait and answer the door. Yes.
Oh, one thing on the internet. We didn't have internet for like a year and a half, and it was hard. It was really hard. So I shopped around, and I was able to find internet really cheap through this company called DSL Extreme. Mm-hmm. And you don't need a house phone, which was really nice. And so if anybody's looking for something that's cheap internet, and we have the network where, you know, anybody can use it in our home, it's like
Okay. The other thing is if you have to go far, carpool. I didn't mention that. You should try to carpool. Bessie?
How would I, because we make too much to have my daughter head start preschool, but not enough for private school. Do you have any suggestions for anybody?
What are you trying to do?
My daughter in preschool.
You want to put her in preschool and you don't have enough money? Okay, so then...
too much for, a head start.
Right, so too much for assistance, but you don't have enough for preschool. So you have to go back through the steps. So you're going to, for the month, you're going to see where your spending personally is going, and you're going to try to shave off to see where you can cut corners so you can have enough to put her in the school that you want to put her in. Yes?
Also, there's a program called Kids of Care, where they
Okay, kids in care, she said.
It's on the office is on Mountain View and Second, I believe.
And a lot of times.
And you might want to share with friends too until you're at the point where, because if you're struggling to get her in preschool, then you're too close to being even at the end of the month or behind, and so that's going to be a burden on you. So you might want to see if you can work it out with a neighbor or a friend where maybe they work the weekend or nights and you can help, or they can watch yours or something like that. You want to be creative like that.
The home one, the home daycares and the church
preschool
daycares, those are a lot cheaper than if you were to go to like
kindergarten. Don't go to kindergarten. Was ridiculous. You know,
one, I made minimum wage and they were charging like $1,000.
Yeah, they. I couldn't believe their prices. I thought it was an error. I was like, what? I said, and I called and I said, so is this like for, you were saying this was for, I just wanted 2 days a week. And she was like, yes. I'm like, well, it says here. And she's like, yes. And I was like, okay, just wanted to check in, just checking, just checking. Okay, yes.
I'm on a really fixed income because I'm fighting my SSI right now. And after I pay my rent every month, it's like $20 left. So
the problem is, you said after, and the tithe comes off the top. Because when it doesn't make sense to you in your mind, and you know that at the end of the month there's $20 left, that's when faith kicks in. And so you pay the tithe first, and you believe God that the money's going to be there at the end of the month. And then see. Try it that way.
Because I go, like, get one check a month, that's it.
I know, but I'm saying it doesn't make sense. I've been there, you know, where I've done this little budget, and I'm way in the negatives. And yet with tithing, it still all got paid. I couldn't even tell you how, you know. It doesn't make sense.
Right, second point.
Yeah.
It is, seriously, and believe me, I understand. I do know where you're coming from. It is like stepping off a cliff. And you have no idea where you're going to land. But if I can tell you anything, I can tell you to trust the Lord in this one area. If you can commit that one area to the Lord, it is a huge battle.
It really is.
A huge victory.
You know, I believe that... You know, God has blessed us tremendously, and I believe it's all because of giving. That's all I could tell you. Because when we didn't have it to give, we still were able. We never went hungry. Our kids were taken care of, you know. And today, you know, people would look on the outside and say we're blessed, but nobody knows where we came from or what we did to get there. But we never, even when I was just not a really income, I just was living off student loans because I didn't have enough money to attend school. And then I would take my personal money, like say, you know, I pay the loan and they give you a certain amount to live on. I would tithe off of my money that I'm supposed to live on. And it was very scarce because they say, okay, the school, you need to pay them, you know, $10,000. And then here's another $300 a month for you to live off of. Then I would pay $30 a month to the Lord off of my personal living money in my student loan, which was not accounted for and which should have put me way in the hole. And yet it never did. And people bless you. I mean, people just come up to me at church and shake my hand. There'd be like $100. And I'm like, good job. <You know? laughs> Yes.
Always faithful. As long as you're obedient to the word of people, it's looking at $50 and then $5.
and totally too, just in being wise, because I'd say for my first, I don't know, until I started getting a regular check, I always shopped at the Salvation Army. I mean, and I was raised shopping at the Salvation Army. I mean, you're paying, you know, $30 for designer jeans, and I'm getting it for a dollar, and nobody could tell, you know, or a shirt or a jacket or whatever, 50 cents here and a dollar there. I'm a total advocate, I know a lot of people, and I've told them to do this, and they're ashamed to do it. But like I said, it's just for a season, and that's how God blessed me, because I wasn't too prideful to go and do that. You know, you need five pairs of jeans, you can get them for $5, and you go get five nice pairs of jeans that fit you. I mean, you got to get the, and usually they don't put the tattered ones out there. You know, you get nice stuff, and it just is not the designer names, you know. And so there's places to shop and whatever, and even furniture for the first, right now still in my bedroom, and that's really bad because I'm kind of getting old. But the sofa and chair in my bedroom was my stepdad's that he had for 20 years before he gave it to me, and I've had it for 20 years. That's pretty bad. You know, but what I did was I got all this furniture from Salvation Army, and then as I saved, I would replace one at a time, and I just replace. And even our house, we bought this house with all this dirt acreage. And every year we just would make a goal to move out a little bit more, and we'd get grass to here and to here. And then we put a pool, and we moved and we moved and moved until the entire, just bit by bit. Don't try to keep up with anybody. Just do what your budget can afford. Okay? So Pam's going to tell you the fun stuff.
Well, actually, we kind of like really covered a lot of it, because with grocery shopping, I wanted to make a suggestion that when you get to the sales, catch the sales, read your the weekly ads, because you can get like your meat. Just go and buy your meat and go home and cut it into portions, or have the butcher to cut it and freeze it. And also the dry foods, you know, like your canned goods and your pastas and stuff, that stuff has good shelf life. So buy those things when you can. But at the same time, don't buy stuff you're not, just because it's on sale. Because a lot of times, I know I could do that. Oh my gosh, it was on sale. I didn't need it, but it was on sale, so I bought it. So don't buy it just because it's on sale. Only buy it if you're going to need it and you're going to use it. Okay? And I just wanted to cover real quickly with the grocery shopping, how planning ahead saves time and money. So shop weekly, but first clean out your refrigerator. And I think you said that, your pantry and your refrigerator, so you know what you need and write a list. And shop weekly, make a list, shop for health. You know, a lot of times because money's tight, what's the first thing we do? A bag of Lay's potato chips is cheaper than, you know, those pita chips that are not fried. You know what I mean? But shop for health. And I was just talking to somebody earlier, and we go a lot to Trader Joe's. It seems to be the family joke now because of what I went through now, Trader Joe's is like my best friend. So, but it's, everyone has this misconception that it's really expensive, and it's really not. And, but also at Stater Brothers, where else I shop at Stater's, and, they have a lot of organic things now. And so shop for your health. Don't just run to the cheapest thing. You know, that's why it's good to write a list and make a plan. I always say make a plan and work a plan, because you got to have a plan. If you're just showing up, you're going to overspend. Check for your coupons and sales. Bring your calculator. I used to always do this, have my calculator, and it takes a little bit more time. But as I put my stuff in the basket, I just calculated it. That way I stayed on my budget. And this was a really good one, was eat before you go shopping. Because if you go and you're hungry, everything sounds good. And you spent way too much money. And so that's just, you know, that was that. So the fun part was the clothes shopping, because that's always the fun part. That's what we saw last week with the woo, you know, going and, you know, the way that we go and we'll spend $800. And so another thing with that is we have to do the same thing with the grocery shopping and shop with a plan. Kind of like with what Dr. Vanessa said. You know, she knows what she wants and she goes and she gets it. And so if you don't have the willpower to just go and window shop, then don't go and window shop. If you don't have the money to spend, don't do it. Because we really have to learn to be more disciplined. And to me, it all goes spiritually just as well. Because if we can learn to be disciplined in how we're spending our money and how we're spending the other things, that's going to show a lot with how we're doing our self-discipline with spending time with God and spending our time in prayer. So it can really go hand in hand. Okay, budget, being budget friendly isn't just about fashion. So you got to know, I like with what Dr. Vanessa said about consignment stores. I think you said thrift stores or consignment stores. When my kids were young, we didn't really have any money. We were just one income family. But you know what? My kids were always clean and they always had clean clothes and they always looked good. And you know where I shopped? Thrift stores. You can get a lot of good deals. You can get a lot of new clothes in there even. Their clothes are nice. They're pressed. They're clean. They're good. They may not be brand names, but you know what? A lot of times they are still brand names. Your whole outfit. See? See?
$6
right there. Candy right here. $6.
I'm the queen of Goodwill.
Yeah. And you know, and like that, you know, don't be embarrassed about it. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Nothing to be embarrassed about. Because you know what? We've all been there. And even though I don't always shop there now, I still shop there. Because why not? I mean, I just went into the Salvation Army not too long ago, about a month ago, and I was like, oh, having a good old time. Man, I can get this, and I can get this, and, you know, so it's nice. Go for it. It's better to have... Oh, go ahead.
You know, a lot of times, you think of... I mean, how many people like going to yard sales? It's the same thing.
Yep, it is.
I mean, I love going to yard sales, and yet people are not ashamed to be at the yard sale, and yet they're ashamed to go to the Goodwill, and it's the same thing. It's used product, right?
Exactly. Same thing. And we're women. We're all about getting good deals. I hardly ever buy anything full price. I have to love it, love it, love it, love it. But usually I talk myself out of it because it'll go on sale. And so you got to remember, it's better to have 5 to 10 items that you're going to wear all the time than to have 50 things hanging up in your closet. I had a friend that called me to come over and help her to organize because I like to organize. I'm a little freak sometimes. And so she wanted me to come help organize her closet. Oh my gosh, she had so many things with tags on them still. And I was like, girl, I need to go shopping in your closet. It was unbelievable. So it's better to have like 5 to 10 pieces of clothing, however many that you need, that you're going to wear all the time, than to think that you always have to have a lot that you're not going to wear at all. So, and it's good to go through your closet and be getting rid of them. I'm going to my sister's later on, and so I called her yesterday and said, I am coming with gifts. I cleaned out my drawers, so you can clean out yours and have some for me. So that's how we do it. But so clean out your drawers and, you know, clean out your closet and stuff. Another thing is buy, like with the, with appliances and stuff, buy off season for next season. So like right now, all the summer clothes are going on sale. So you can get some really good deals now. I mean, right now is probably not the time to go buy all the fall clothes and all that because we're entering into that season. But if you buy off season, then you always got it good. And the best times are like January to February and July and August. That's usually when they have the season change. You can get some good deals. So you just kind of have to be smart about it with looking. Also, when you go into the stores, in the front they're going to have like, you know, this is on sale. But if you go to the back, that's where you're going to find the clearance. I'm all about going to the back. My husband laughs at me all the time because we'll walk into a store and he can't find me. And I'm like, and when he finds me, I'm over at the clearance. And I'm like, hey, you know, why shop over there if you can look on the clearance? And it's amazing what you can get. You can get, I mean, oh, these I got at Ross and they were only like $12.99. $12.99 for these pants. So, you know, that's another thing I was going to say. Some good deals that you, if you go to Ross or you go to Marshall's or Wet Seal or Styles for Less over there by the old Mervyn's. And sometimes you can get some really good deals. And if they don't fit you right, you can pay hardly anything to go get them tailored. So look for the less expensive things and just pay $10 to get it tailored because you're still coming in way under what you normally would get. Check out the outlet malls. The outlet malls like where? They have like Cabazon. There's certain things that I really like to have and, you know, and some of it, I love the Coach purses. I'll just be honest. I don't know why, but I love them. But I don't never personally buy them for myself. But my husband surprises me sometimes. But that's what he does. He always goes to Cabazon. So after 29 years, I've helped him to learn to save money somewhere in that, right? And so what else did I want to say? Well, Vanessa talked a little bit about this, but if you're using a charge card, only charge what you know you're going to pay at the end of the month. Don't go into debt over it. It's just clothes. And, you know, the Bible tells us, I mean, if he cares, if God cares so much about the birds of the air, how much more does he care about us? He's going to make sure that we have food. He's going to make sure that we're clothed. We're definitely not going to have to go anywhere and be streaking, you know, not on purpose anyway. I mean, not on purpose. No, I said it backwards. But anyway, another thing I wanted to say real quick was with back-to-school clothes, because I know some of you are going to be having kids. You have kids, and you have to be going to the back-to-school clothes shopping. I couldn't even get that out. Jeez, I used to always have to do it. Now I don't have to anymore. But look, clean out your kids' drawers and your closets first, because there is so much stuff that your kids have and that they don't wear or that doesn't fit them or does fit them, but it's hiding in the back, or it's in the wrong drawer because it fell out because the drawers got crammed, and you know what I mean? How that all happens. So before you go clothes shopping for your kids for back to school, clean everything out. Make a list with what you need. Just like we do for the grocery shopping, you know, you keep your little tally. I usually have a tally in my kitchen with when I'm running out, I keep a tally. Do that with the clothes shopping for your kids or for yourself or whatever you're doing, but so that way you have what you need. And you're going to get what you need, and you're not getting everything else, you know. And we used to, as kids, I remember my parents would give us, like, you know, $200. And that was, like, for your whole school year of clothes. But now it would be so wise to just when you go clothes shopping for your kids, just get like three things. Get three outfits because they need their backpacks now. They need their notebooks. Back when we were kids, it was different. All that stuff was provided. Now they don't do that anymore. So just use wisdom and write it down. And another thing I want to say was the brand names with the kids. A lot of times with the kids, you know, kids get teased if they don't have brand names, and it's really stupid, but it's true, and that's just a fact. So I wanted to share that even though, you know, we don't need to go out and buy brand names for your kids, I didn't, and I still don't, but sometimes you can still splurge a little bit and buy it for them just so that they feel good about themselves. But once again, you can go to the consignment stores, and you can still find brand names. So that's really pretty much it. I think a lot with what Dr. Vanessa said with the food, you just take into the clothing and go in with a purpose. Unless you have money to spend, that's fun. Yes.
A suggestion with clothes for the kids, because I remember when I had two stepsons with my daughter, they were always outside, always getting dirty.
Yes.
Always pulled through jeans so fast, you know, holes in the knee area. One thing I used to teach the kids was have a set of clothes
that's
play clothes. So as soon as they come home from school, they can take off their school clothes, put on their old clothes, and they can tear up those clothes as much as they want so their school clothes last longer.
Yeah.
And my daughter was in high school, and she has a friend. His mom's, you know, basically working poor, but that kid kept his clothes very clean.
Yeah.
You know, he washed his shoes, he keeps them clean, he presses them because he knew that's what
was
the only set of good clothes. So if you teach your kids, hey, these clothes are old ones, you can do whatever you want, their school clothes will stay, they'll last longer.
That's so good. We used to do that with our kids too. And another thing too is with the shoes, because the kids are going to really use their shoes. You know, they grow fast. That's another reason you don't want to spend grips of money on your kids' clothes, because they grow so quickly and they ruin their shoes like there's no tomorrow because they're wearing them every day. So do like our friend over here said, you know, school clothes and play clothes is a great idea. It's a great idea. Exactly. Yeah.
I do that.
That's a good idea. Yes. That's what we did. Yeah. It's a good idea to do. Go ahead.
I know what I did, or what my mother did when I was younger, was, you know, at Payless, they used to sell like canvas tents.
Uh-huh.
Because we're at Payless, you know, there's kids in. But they used to sell canvas shoes because you can go out and buy the different colors. Shoe polish, canvas shoe polish. You get, I mean, there's all colors, red, black, red,
yellow, green, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we buy like 5 pairs of just white canvas shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And every week.
That's a good idea.
I mean, they look brand
new
every day.
Yeah.
And so when the color started to wear off, just touch it up with the shoe polish.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, the whole point with the clothes shopping is it doesn't really have to be, you know, it doesn't, we, I think, really need to learn to be more disciplined as women, because it's really easy to go out and we get caught up, you know, a lot of times the kids do, but sometimes, but we do too, get caught up in always wanting to have the nicest and the newest and, you know, with what looks good, but we don't need to. We need to let it go.
See, and the other thing is when I was really struggling, I just had some basics. You have some basic black pants,
mm-hmm,
with 3 or 4 shirts that can go with that that I got from Salvage, a basic skirt. You know, I might have a pair of jeans, a black pants, a black skirt, and maybe a neutral khaki kind of something, and a lot of tops, and like 2 jackets to switch around, and a lot of cheap jewelry. And it always looks like a new outfit. It's amazing. People don't even know that you're wearing the same stuff over and over again, so you need to be creative.
You just go through your closet and you'd be amazed what you can mix and match.
So did you guys have any questions in the time that we have left? Any help you need about budgeting? Any questions you had for either Pam or I or anything? Shopping, grocery, budgeting, credit cards? Uh-huh.
I just wanted to make sure that I understood correctly when we were talking about this SendEarnings.com.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, that's a third party that allows you to shop for like Target or Walmart or mm-hmm. multiple avenues of the sort of money you want.
Mm-hmm. Go online and just punch that in, and it's shopping. You can play games on there. You get money for shopping, games.
Emails.
Oh, to read emails, mm-hmm. they pay you just to read advertisements, because they get paid for people. To advertise for people. So if you read their emails, and you have to read, I think, you have to read a couple a week in order to get paid through the thing. And it's just clicking on, you don't read it, I mean,
She just skims reads it, you know, really quick. Speed reading.
I skim it and see what it's saying, and then I get my check.
So, okay, I don't want to go shopping every week. But you said you can go shopping every week for your meals.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be cheaper to go to Costco, because it comes so much bigger, but then you don't have to go shopping every week and plan your meals like that? What do you think would be cheaper, doing it every week?
Well, I think
shop per month.
Yeah, I mean, I usually do every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so,
two.
Yeah. But if you're getting, like, dry goods, if you're getting stuff, you know, canned goods, and you're getting that kind of stuff, then it's good to go to Costco. Because you can, it's, if you're buying in bulk, it's usually cheaper. But like Dr. Vanessa said, if we look at the things, and, you know, the...
it depends if you use it, too. I mean, I go once a month, but I freeze bread, cheese, and everything, and pull them out, because I don't like running to the store all the time, because we go through a loaf of bread, like, you know.
Yeah.
I think the key to grocery shopping is in planning your menus. I am amazed at how many women do not have a menu in their brain when they go into a grocery store.
And that's why they're spending so much.
I always sit down and go, okay, I've got to have 7 meals. Okay, 2 of those may be leftovers. That means I've got to plan
for
5
meals. Yeah.
And I plan out, it's going to have this, 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 and this involved.
Yeah, that is the
what
wise
I do.
Way to do it. And, you know, in my family, if you have a family,
you could do, and if you have enough room in your freezer, just get it, take it. And that's what I do, is, you know, but, you know, like go to Sam's and get the stuff and, you know, just make it smaller portions and freeze a lot of it.
That's
if you got room in it, freezing a lot of stuff.
Like leftovers. Mm-hmm. And so I'll make a big pot of spaghetti or chili or whatever, and I won't pull it out the next night. I'll freeze it till next
freeze
week.
Freeze it.
And then they get it again, and they think it's fresh. Because if it's just sitting in there, nobody will go and get it. Or if you give it the next night, they're like, didn't we have this last night? Is this like leftovers? You know, but if you pull it out fresh, you know, then they will. So I always, you know, it saves your cooking and everything. To make, you know, when I make enchiladas or something, I make 2 pans, one for today and one to be frozen. And I pull it out the next week. on the slide.
That's what I had written down, too, was to do that. It just cook, like, double your portion and freeze half of it.
Yep.
That way you can do that. And another thing, like with what you said, Candy, I know for me, when I'm going to go shopping, I get out my cookbook and my recipes, and I sit down and decide what I'm going to make and write down everything. So then when I go to the store, I know what I need, you know, and then I know what I'm doing for the week or 2 weeks, you know.
See, now that's too much for me, so I'll just say.
That's my organizational
stuff. She's a freak. This is what I do. I'm like, okay, you figure. I don't cook on Sundays, and we usually have leftovers twice. So then that leaves me with 4 days. So I get 4 meats, okay? I'll get 2 chickens and 2 burgers or something, right? And then once I got those, then I'll have my meat. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to do with this chicken this time. You know, it's not like I come up and like, okay, today we're going to have chicken enchiladas, and Tuesday we're going to have... I don't do that at all. Just get you 4 meats if you're like me. So they're 2 different kinds of personalities, you know?
Well, you know, you're thinking about it all the time. I mean, I think last night with what I'm going to make tonight. Well, I didn't really because I don't have to cook tonight, but normally that's how I do it.
Yes.
That's what we do with the menu, and actually the kids like it because I'll have the kids pick, you know, what they want for their
That's good.
Meal. And especially, you know, if you're busy and you're working like I do, you know, and then you have to come home to the kids. I mean, it's easier to just look on the fridge and be like, okay, this is what I'm making. You know, so
yeah.
Like, okay, what do I make? What do I need to, you know, take out of the freezer and defrost? But the kids like it because now the kids, they get to pick what they want to eat.
That's good. You know? That's good.
And also with vegetables, like I noticed, like if vegetables, you know how you buy for certain meals, but then you have like leftover celery and carrots, you're like, what can I do with this? Usually before they go bad, we usually end up just putting broth and that, and you have like a vegetable soup.
Yeah, that's good.
And you can even freeze that for later if you have too much for that.
That's good.
Soup is a great meal for leftovers. I'll be putting everything in the soup.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go to waste, it tastes good. You throw a potato and an onion, you can put almost anything in there.
You can put a bag of onions, you can make French onion soup.
Yeah, really you can make a lot of good soups. All right. Okay, if you want an extra budget, then you can come up and get it. And, you know, you guys take advantage of it, try it, and see, because, you know, God helps those who help themselves. So let's be wise women.